And the Bible calls it our sinful nature. And our sinful nature, I can tell you, it is constantly calling, my friend, upon you and I to cross over to the dark side. Our nature, our flesh, friend, is constantly calling and constantly battling, if you will, with the spiritual side that the Lord is calling you and I into. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ even gave you and I some Bible in order to be able to understand what the pull of our flesh certainly can happen in our lives. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness," the Bible says, "rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, that He connects the darkness, friend, if you will, with the evil or the sin that is inside of our life. And so since man's natural desire is to sin, the only resource, friend, powerful enough to keep our lives spiritually turned toward God is the Word of God that is made effective, if you will, by the Holy Spirit of God inside of our hearts and inside of our lives. The darkness, I can tell you, then all of us, well, I can tell you, it is going to ultimately be revealed. Whether it be on earth or whether it be in eternity, one thing is for certain, my friend, our sin is going to be revealed and it will find you and I out. In fact, our text here that we are looking at this morning, it reminds you and I of that truth. In fact, you can see here in Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23, the verse says this, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Now I want to make it very, very clear and very, very important this morning that yes, people can grab verses out of the Word of God, and they can twist the verse and turn the verse around in order to be able to make it suit or fit a doctrine, if you will. And friend, that's when we are taking the Word of God out of context. So let's go ahead for just a second then, and let's find out, first of all, just really quickly, why this verse is here and why it speaks to you and I and why it can speak to you and I in 2016. In its context, we understand when you study the couple of chapters leading into this verse that Israel was getting ready to go into the promised land. And out of the 12 tribes of Israel, some of the tribes wanted to stop short, if you will, from crossing over into the promised land. And Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh pleaded with Moses that they be allowed to take their inheritance into the Transjordan and stay there. Now, the Reubenites and the Gadites, which were part of the tribes of Judah, had acclaimed or accumulated a large number of livestock according to Numbers 32. And they had acquired it legally through diligence and hard work, in addition sharing the spoils and defeating the Mennonites in Numbers chapter 31. Now I want you to get this. There was no sin whatsoever in having all of this stuff. But however, having too much stuff placed a temptation in their path. And these tribes, like the previous generations, was ready to reject the land that God had promised and give to them. So Moses reluctantly granted their request by only on one condition, that they help the people in the conquest of Canaan and that they forever afterwards be faithful to the call of God on their life. They were to fight, my dear friend, whatever battle that it was, along with the other tribes. Instead of staying in the barracks, friend, they were there to fight in the battlefield. And so what they did is they agreed that if they could get what they wanted, that Moses would allow them to be able to have it, but the condition was they had to fight. And just before Moses made the whole thing the way it was supposed to be, he makes this statement. He said, "But if ye will not do so, ye have sinned against the Lord, be sure your sins will find you out." Friend, I want you to know, when did you make a promise to God? When you got saved by the grace of God, did you know that when you got saved by the grace of God, did you know, friend, that listen, it was at that moment that you were promising the Lord, if you will, that you were making Him the Lord, the master, or the overseer of your life. That friend, you are no longer yourself. You are literally, if you will, a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, I want you to know that, listen, you may not think that that little secret sin that you have, or maybe that thought or that word or that deed, that friend, that listen, it's not that big of a deal. But friend, I promise you, it is a big deal unto the Lord. He is concerned about every thought. He is concerned about every word. He is concerned about every solid deed that you and I commit. Somebody say amen. And so we must understand, friend, this morning that when we make a commitment like they did to the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, I'm telling you, listen, God is not a man that he should lie. Listen, if we make, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, if we make a vow unto the Lord and we break that vow, friend, I want you to know the Bible tells you and I that it's sin. I want you to know, listen, if that's exactly what God expects out of me and what God expects out of you, friend, I want you to know that, listen, he puts great stock in his word this morning. Amen. And Lord, the Lord has made many vows to me and many vows to you. Aren't you glad and aren't you thankful? Thank God that he's never went back on one of them in his life. Hallelujah this morning. Amen. So friend, listen, if you've made the commitment to the Lord, friend, and you're turning from it, friend, be sure your sin will find you out. I want you to notice, if you will, though, some of the very first things that we ought to be looking at when it comes to spiritual U-turns in our life. Number one, the darkness of sin, it will control you. The darkness of sin, it will control you. You say, preacher, you got any Bible for that? I'm glad you ask. John chapter 8 and verse number 34. This is what the Bible says. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In other words, again, that word servant there carries the idea of a bond slave. Friend, instead of you being enslaved, if you will, to the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done, friend, when you accustomize yourself and allow yourself to be able to grab on and cling on to your flesh, the Bible tells you that you and I have become a slave to sin. You have become a slave to that thought. You have become enslaved to that word. You have become enslaved, if you will, to that deed. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. The Bible says that word mortify there, it means to crush. In other words, friends, we are crushing the deeds of the body. In other words, those thoughts or those words or those actions, we are crushing or mortifying those deeds that are in our flesh. You say, preacher, what are some of them? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 starts out with the word mortify. It starts out that word carrying that idea, a crushing, if you will. What are we mortifying? What are we crushing, if you will? The Bible says, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, what are they? He said, fornication, which is sexual sin, uncleanliness, which is impurity. He says, inordinate affection, which is that lustful, shameful desires that someone may have. Evil concupiscence, the Bible says. In other words, an evil desire in our heart and our life. And covetousness, in other words, worshiping the good things of life. He says, which is idolatry, he says. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He said, when we are not crushing and mortifying the things that are inside of our heart and inside of our life that is displeasing to the Lord, the Bible says literally that the anger of God is upon me and the anger of God is upon you. Friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want the anger of God on me. Somebody say amen. That's why we ought to crucify the flesh daily. That's why you and I ought to take a good look at what is going on in our hearts and our life. And friend, when we enter into the Sabbath, just like we've done this morning, we have entered into the Sabbath. The last thing that you and I want to do is walk out of here as an unrepented sinner. Amen? You say, preacher, what's the law of God? The law of God is that we are to keep the Sabbath holy. Is that right? Is that one of the Ten Commandments? Friend, I want you to know that if you go through the Sabbath as an unrepented sinner, friend, you're not keeping the Sabbath holy. Just coming down to the house of God, friend, you're not keeping the Sabbath holy. Amen? If you've got something in your heart, friend, that you need to repent of, hey, get it out, my friend, and give it over to God and go through in victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And may I say to you, the devil is a liar this morning. The devil is a liar this morning. I want you to know that Jesus and the Apostle Paul are saying that the danger of crossing over to the dark side, it opens up the door for you to become a slave to this darkness. My friend, you say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you, preacher. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Well, my friend, listen, you ask the alcoholic. Because of alcohol controlling his body, his liver is now eaten up with cirrhosis. Ask the homosexual whose body has been ravaged with AIDS. Ask the adulterer whose marriage has been destroyed because they sacrificed their family on the altar of lust. Ask the fornicator whose body has been wrecked with disease. Ask the liar who no one believes even when telling the truth. Ask the prideful and the arrogant who has no friends because their sinful attitude has pushed everybody out of their life. Friend, they begin to feel alone in the world because they will not make a spiritual U-turn. They will not make a change. And their sin is finding them out. And in this particular case, it is finding them out through their body. Friend, I want you to know that, listen, your sins will find you out. Did you know that it is estimated that 1.2 million people in the United States, that they have AIDS? That a panel of experts convened by the American Social Health Association calculated that there are a number of new cases of STDs, approximately 15 million annually. It's been reported that someone is affected by a venereal disease every 45 seconds. Friend, I want you to know that sin is not only going to find you out in your body, but friend, it can find you out in your mind as well. One commentator has stated that sin is not in a hurry. He said, sooner or later, it will serve you with a summons to appear before the bar of your conscience, and then it will become the star witness against you. Doctors have identified a problem that many women in our country have today. It is called PAS, which stands for post-abortion syndrome. It is a mental health problem that some women get between the years 5 and 9 years after a woman has had an abortion. Doctors have found that more than 60% of women experience frequent crying, the inability to communicate, pulling away from intimacy with their spouse, suicidal tendencies, and increased alcohol and drug use. Between 80 to 100% have suffered from feelings of grief, sadness, loss, depression, anger, and guilt, and low self-esteem. My friend, listen, you may be even a woman that is here today that is suffering from this very thing. Well, I want you to know this morning that even today, thank God, what has been done. But I'm grateful and thankful that we can decide to make a spiritual U-turn this morning. Amen. And if you'll make that spiritual U-turn, I promise you that you can find hope, that you can find mercy, that you can find help, that you can find rest, and you can find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. Amen. My dear friend, there's not one sin that the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, when He went to the cross of Calvary, He bore all the sins of mankind. Thank God that we can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we can go on with Him. So friend, I can tell you there's hope in Jesus this morning. Amen? Hope in Jesus. The darkness of sin, my friend, I can tell you that not only will it control you, but the darkness of sin, it will corrupt you as well. There are basically two reasons why people enter into the darkness. You say, what are they? Number one, first of all, they think that they can conceal their sin. Secondly, they think that they can escape the consequences. But my dear friend, the sin has corrupted their reasoning. That friend, I want you to know that, listen, they may try to conceal it. They may think they can get away with the consequences of it. But my friend, I want you to know you'll have to live with it for the rest of your days. I'm thinking about David. You know, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. But in Psalm chapter 51, we see him on his knees getting right with God and asking God to forgive him and asking God to be able to help him because of his sin, that he committed his adulterous affair that he had committed with Bathsheba. And there he is crying out to God, asking God to be able to restore the joy that he once had in his life. Friend, I want you to know that, listen, there's nothing any worse on planet Earth than for a person who's been saved by the grace of God to lose their joy. Amen? Friend, listen. There ought to be a couple of places that you always have joy. One of them is down at your house, and the second one is down at the house of God. Amen? There ought to be peace in our heart and inside of our life. And friend, I want you to know, listen, what a sad state of affair that it is when we come down to the house of God. And friend, listen, we can't enjoy the preaching. We can't enjoy the singing. We can't enjoy the fellowship. Everything about us, my friend, is absolutely turned upside down because of that secret sin that is in our heart and inside of our life. Psalm chapter 32, David describes exactly what he dealt with. He said, "Thy hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer," he said, "Selah." He paused for just a few moments and he began to think that literally when he said his moisture is turned into the drought of summer. In other words, he was saying that his vitality was gone. His strength was gone. Everything about him was gone. Listen, I can tell that that sin had zapped him and exhausted him to his very core. And friend, he dealt with it for over a year. Day and night, the Bible said, by hand, it was heavy upon me. Oh, but the Bible says in verse number 5 that I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and the Lord did hear my cry. Thank God the Lord did hear me. I'm glad, thank God, that there's hope this morning. I'm glad, thank God, that you don't have to walk out of here with that guilt and that misery and that shame. But thank God, you can give it to Jesus this morning. Amen. And God will set you free. Hallelujah. I want you to know that there is a problem, I can tell you. The Word of God tells you and I in Psalm chapter 10 and verse 13, "Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require." In other words, friend, we think in our minds that, listen, we're going to be able to get away with our sin and that God will not require you and I to be able to answer for it. They really begin to believe that they can get away with it, friend, but there is a problem. Friend, you might be able to fool the policeman. You might be, I almost did, somebody say amen right there. But you might be able to fool the policeman. You might be able to fool the judge. You might be able to fool your spouse. You might be able to fool your pastor. You might even be able to fool the person that's sitting next to you here this morning. But friend, I want you to know that, friend, there is one person that you are never, ever, ever going to fool, and his name is Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, there is not a lawyer in the world that you can plea bargain your way out of sin. You are going to have to answer for it. There will be no plea bargaining. There will be no bribing of the judge. There will be no exemptions. There will be no exceptions. And there will be no excuses whatsoever when you stand in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can tell you this morning that in the late 19th century, there was a notorious murderer in London, England. And all of us know his name. We've heard his name mentioned in school before. His name was Jack the Ripper. And to this day, nobody knows who Jack the Ripper was. Many books have been written guessing who this man was, but nobody knows actually who he was. The question that I've got for you today is this: is Jack the Ripper got away with his crime, but did Jack the Ripper get away with his sin? Friend, God in heaven knows exactly who Jack the Ripper is. Amen? And I can tell you that, friend, there is coming a day that, listen, he will be judged for his sin. You see, we must understand this morning that it does not matter whether it is the darkness, whether it is distance, or whether we are decaying in the grave. Friend, it makes absolutely no difference to God whatsoever. He always knows, and sooner or later, friend, it is going to come out. In closing, I want to just give you this morning. The last reason that we need to have these spiritual U-turns in our life is because the darkness of sin, it will condemn you. It will condemn you. Listen to the verse that is given to you and I just one more time in our text. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We must remember, friend, that this verse does not say, "Be sure your sin has been found out," because maybe it hasn't. It does not say, "Be sure your sin may find you out." Maybe it will and maybe it won't. But friend, I want you to know the verse does say, "Be sure your sin will find you out." You say, does God see all things? I want you to know that Psalm 130 and verse number 3, the Bible says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? That word mark there, did you know that in Psalm 130 and verse 3, it is where we get our word watchtower from? It's been translated as the word mark in our King James Bible. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? In other words, Lord, if you are the one that is in the watchtower, Lord, and you see all, and Lord, you know all, and Lord, nothing is escaping your observation, how in the world can any of us sitting in this building here today, how can we stand on our own two feet? How can we proclaim our righteousness in the sight of God Almighty? Friend, I can tell you that it cannot happen. We cannot claim our righteousness in the sight of God because our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. Amen? But friend, I'm glad, thank God, that we have been declared righteous because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, the darkness revealed, is, I can tell you, is just a matter of time. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, some men's sin are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. I was thinking, I suppose, of a little bit of a humorous story, but it certainly does make a major point. And the story was this. It reminds me of the little story from years ago about a little boy who bought a or got a fingerprinting set for Christmas. And he came into the room one afternoon with a frown on his face. His daddy said, son, what in the world is wrong with you? He said, well, daddy, says, I'm mad at the man that wrote this book about fingerprinting and came up with this fingerprinting set. He said, why are you mad at him? The little boy said, because, he said, he is a liar. The dad said, well, why in the world would you say that he is a liar? The boy began to explain and said, daddy, in this man's book, this man said that there are no two men who have the same fingerprints. The dad said, well, so what? That's correct. And he said, well, the little boy said, well, I know of at least three men who have the same fingerprints. He said, who in the world are they? He said, number one, he said, you. Number two is Santa Claus. And number three, whoever it is that is getting the change out of my piggy bank. He said, those three guys got the same fingerprints, he said. And even though that might be humorous, we need to understand, friend, how it applies to this verse. We must understand that, listen, you leave your fingerprints on every solid sin that you commit, and one day, either again on earth or in eternity, friend, they will be presented because the text says that your sin is going to find you out. Now, up to this point, this message may sound bleak. Up to this point, it's hard to maybe say amen. But friend, I want you to know that there is hope. I gave you Psalm chapter 130 and verse 3 there just a moment ago. That if you, the Bible says that if we mark iniquities, that the Lord is marking iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? And so while we understand, friend, that listen, there is a great need for repentance, we must understand that, thank God, that that repentance that we offer unto the Lord, friend, that He is willing to do something for you and I if we come to Him and repent. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 130 and verse 4, this is the next verse. It says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Amen. There is forgiveness with thee. Not maybe, not sitting around scratching my head on whether or not God loves me enough to forgive me. Not you have committed so many acts of sin in your life that you feel like the church is going to fall down when you walk inside of it. But friend, I want you to know it don't matter what you've done, thought, word, or deed, Jesus went to the cross. Amen. And thank God the Bible says that He offers forgiveness to you and I. In fact, I can tell you that that word forgiveness in the text, it is the Hebrew word propitio. It is where we get that great Bible word propitiation from. The Bible says over in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God, He is our forgiveness. forgiver. Amen. The devil's our adversary, but thank God he is our redeemer this morning. Amen. And friend, may I say to you, listen, one man of God said, he offered this. I love what he said. He said, when we come before God, he said, the ground of our hope is not that we can justify ourselves, not that we can prove we have not sinned, not that we can explain our sins away, not that we can offer an apology for them. It is only in a coming clean and full confession to God that we can ever have hope that he will forgive them. He says, we can always, thank God, have hope of the Lord Jesus Christ that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from our righteousness. He who does not come in this manner can have no hope of acceptance with God. But friend, if you'll come clean, the Bible says he'll forgive you. Amen. So friend, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm done. I want the girl.